Okay. Now we're at time, so it's time to bring the matter to a vote. The amendment first. The amendment is to make the members of this ad hoc group either LSB or PMB members. Somebody who sounds like they're doing sit-ups or other labored activity, if they could mute.
You know, he's been doing that throughout the meeting.
It's
you're
late
very
at night,
perceptive,
I know.
Knowing what everyone's doing.
But in any case, it's pound, pound, one to mute. I've only been hearing it the last 10 or 15 minutes. Can we call the roll on the motion to amend it to specify LSB or PMB membership on the group?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we certainly can. Let's start with AC Bird. Okay, no answer on that.
Can you hear you, Teresa?
I said AC Bird. Rob Robinson?
What's the vote again?
Mr. Chair?
The vote is on whether the members of the ad hoc working group that's being proposed must be PNB or LSB members.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Sarv?
Yes.
Rosalinda?
Yes.
Mary Bird?
No.
LaVarn Williams?
Pass.
Patty Heffley? Patty Heffley?
Yeah, pass.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Let's see. Alan Minsky still here?
Yeah, I'll pass.
Don White?
Abstain.
Lydia Brazon? Teresa Allen? No. Sandy Wyman?
Abstain. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken Freeland?
Abstain.
Deb Shafto?
Pass for now.
Pass for now. Okay, everybody. Rip Robbins?
Teresa, you're not being heard.
Rip Robbins?
Abstain.
Thank you, Rip. Going back to see. Did I hear AC? Is AC here?
Yeah.
What do you vote?
Yes.
You say yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Rosalinda Montez Palacios.
Yes.
That's a yes. LaVarn Williams.
No.
Patty Heffley.
Abstain.
Alan Minsky.
Abstain.
Will the secretary
really
speak into the mic?
Whoever.
Maybe one of our members. Gone down.
One of our members is having some very labored breathing at the moment, and it would be really helpful if they could mute themselves.
They might be asleep.
They could be.
Okay.
Who can blame them?
Lydia Brazon. It might be Lydia that's asleep.
Did you hear me? Yes.
No, I didn't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Did you wake up?
No. I said yes a couple of times. I didn't know if I was.
Yes.
Oh,
you were
okay.
Muted. We didn't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Thank
yes.
you. And Deb Shafto.
Yes.
All right. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yes. We have 1, 2, 3 no. That passes.
Okay. Can you read the amended main motion, Bob?
Sure. Okay. The PNB will create an inclusion working group consisting of 5 representatives, all of whom must be either PNB or LSB members, one elected by each Signal Area Committee of Inclusion in order to communicate about and coordinate their work and to prepare and offer policy recommendations to the PNB. The runner-up from each signal area shall serve as an alternate to represent the signal area in the absence of the elected representative. The working group shall observe the open meeting notice requirements for PNB committees included in Article 8, Section 5 of the bylaws. All meetings shall be web streamed.
Okay. Will you call the roll? If you're in favor, say, of creating this group, please vote yes. If you're opposed, please vote no.
I thought we just voted on that motion.
No, we voted to amend it to specify that the members of the group had to be members of either the LSB or the PNB.
And now, what's the
louder, Teresa.
What is the amendment now?
There's
the
no
main
amendment.
Motion
we're voting on the amendment
the main
motion.
As
what?
Amended.
We're voting on the main motion as amended now.
All right, Sarv Randhawa. I'll come back. Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
Yes.
Okay. Mary Berg.
No.
LaVarne Williams.
No.
Patty Heffley.
No.
Ray LaForest.
I just have to stay abstained.
I think that's a yes. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Alan Minsky?
Abstain.
Don White?
No.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Teresa Allen says no. Sandy Weinman? Sandy?
Sorry, I was muted. No.
Ken Freeland?
No.
Deb Shafto?
No.
Rip Robin?
No.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Rob Robinson? Rob Robinson? Can't hear you, Rob.
I said yes.
Thank you. Sarv Randhawa?
Yes.
All right, anyone who hasn't been called? Seven, yes. Nine, no. That failed.
Okay, we're at time on the Governance Committee report. The other motions will have to get carried over, and I'll take the moment to note that the reason we don't have time to deal with the Governance Committee motions is because we spent the time talking about how much time we would have for dealing with unfinished business and other business at the board meeting.
Can you speak up, David? I'm having trouble. Speak up.
I'm sorry. I'm just very worn out. No, forget it. It's not worthy of spending further time. The next thing, since Dan Siegel's on the phone, we agreed that we would move back to the question of the ED's request for guidance regarding Ken Freeland's inspection/information request. Can somebody remind me of what was on the floor when last we left this topic?
I believe that it was the amendment that was part two, Rip's amendment of the part two.
A different one.
Of Deb's, Rib's,
that's
sorry,
a different
Rip's amendment of Deb's.
No, that can, I'm sorry, that can, yeah, that's a different thing. That concerns the motion on committee participation. Can
oh,
you
I'm,
remember
I'm sorry,
what motion?
I'm sorry.
Was there even a motion? I think maybe we were just still in discussion phase. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ken, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
We were in discussing, but there wasn't a motion before us at that time, was there?
We were... no, I don't believe there was, but I would like to be on a stack of any.
Okay, well, so where we were was we were talking to Dan about the... the issues that impact
inspection rights.
And Greg had asked the board for its guidance on what to make available. Greg, can you reprise what you were asking of the board?
Well, I mean, we're going back again, but I felt that because this involved what I defined as somewhat sensitive information, that I thought the board should have a policy, confidentiality policy, and that this had been brought up in previous legal memoranda that I had reviewed, and I felt that I shouldn't really act until I had the board's guidance on that, and it was an opportunity for them to adopt something. Actually, since then, Dan has put together, at my request, a proposed policy recommendation, which was circulated, I believe, to the board a number of days ago. We hadn't really reached that point, but Ken had posed to me the question of, well, what is it that you're proposing?
Who sent it out?
What date was sent?
I believe that Dan sent it out
Dan
himself.
Dan sent it. Mm-hmm. I can resend it if people want.
Would you please send it?
Sure.
Yeah, I did not send it to the board. I just sent it to Greg and David.
Well, no wonder we don't have it.
Really?
I don't feel so bad.
Here, is there any objection to my forwarding this to the
board? Yeah, Mr. Chair. I have to remind you that I don't get things that you forward when we're on conference call because I have dial-up, so I won't be able to read it.
Dan, can you hit the high point?
Me?
Send it anyway, though.
Yes.
Yeah, will you please send it anyway?
Yeah, I will. Can you hit the high point?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, it seems to me that, and I think the board has gone over this before, that members of the board do have a very clear right to inspect and copy documents, and that the language is very clear that it's all books and records and documents of every kind. And as I said in my memo, the board's bylaws are essentially copies of what the California Corporations Code says, as well as the policy and procedures manual. So there's not a lot of discussion, in my mind anyway, about the rights of board members to see these documents. But many of these documents can also be classified as sensitive because their disclosure to unauthorized people could subject the directors and the foundation to liability. So as a way of harmonizing the rights of directors and the concerns about misuse of documents, I suggested that there be an amendment to the policies and procedures manual that would have 3 points that, number one, no director shall disclose confidential documents to anyone who is not a member of the board without the board's permission. Number two, that the penalty for unauthorized disclosure would be $50,000. And number three, every member of the board shall sign a statement acknowledging the provisions of this policy. And then in addition, I was proposing a very brief addition to the Pacifica bylaws, which would add under Article 5, Section 1, Subsection E, which is the list of the rights and responsibilities of board members, we would add the following language as number 9, quote, compliance with the Pacifica National Board's policies and procedures manual. So that would just kind of complete the circle on the responsibility here.
Okay, so I guess there's an issue of whether anybody would like to move that proposed policy. However, since the board hasn't seen it, it's probably premature.
Mr. Chair, I did request
I would move that, early. Mary Burke here.
I second it.
I have a question for the council.
I'm sorry. So Mary and Don has a question for council.
I am
go ahead
the
with
motion.
The question first, Don.
Gotcha. My question has to do with the $50,000. I'm wondering how culpability would be adjudicated. For instance, if someone believes that a director has done an unauthorized disclosure, how is it adjudicated whether the director is guilty or not guilty of that so that eventually the $50,000 could be collected? Would that be done in a civil suit?
No, it wouldn't have to be done in a suit. It would be done by a decision of the board. And then if the individual who was sanctioned wanted to challenge it, that individual would then have the burden of bringing a civil suit.
I see.
Okay, Mary?
Patty?
Oh, I was just moving to accept those three recommendations of Dan Siegel.
Is there a second to the motion?
Yes,
I can.
Rip Robin.
Okay. Ken?
Well, Mr. Chair, I do object to having been called on out of turn here. I did ask earlier on, before Dan Siegel spoke and others moved his agenda, to be able to speak, but now I can't make my motion because I have to wait. It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say in response to Mr. Siegel's idea that $50,000 lump sum is not, in my opinion, it's not a fair assessment. It's not means tested at all. We have board members who are quite affluent and others who are quite impoverished. And I don't think it's fair to burden them both with the same sort of penalties in the event of alleged wrongdoing. So I have a real problem with that idea. Secondly, I have a problem with the requirement, with the narrowness of the identification of who is authorized to view confidential information at the station level. I don't think the board is the only bearer of fiduciary responsibility and should not be the only possible recipient of that information. So in that respect, too, I have a problem with this proposal. I do think a reaffirmation of the confidentiality requirements of the board is in order at any time, and I certainly would subscribe to that. But once you start negotiating financial penalties without means testing, I think it's a way of instituting classism in Pacifica.
Ken, do you want to make a motion to postpone consideration of this motion until after yours has been heard?
I would, Mr. Chair. I would appreciate the postponement of consideration of this question until I've had an opportunity to make my motion.
Is there a second to that? Motion to
I'll
postpone?
Second that.
I'll second that.
Is there any objection to the motion to postpone?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you call the roll, please, Teresa? Quickly as you can. And I know that we're very close to time on the whole issue, so we may
all
need
right,
to extend.
Postpone until when, Mr. Chair?
We're going to postpone this motion until, the proposal is to postpone this motion until after Ken has the opportunity to make the motion he had asked to be able to make.
We're postponing it until he has a chance to make a motion or read the attorney's information.
No, this is a motion to postpone until later in the meeting.
Until he's made a motion.
Oh.
Until later in this meeting?
Okay.
Yeah. Until immediately after we process whatever motion Ken would like to put forward.
All right. Sarv? Sarv?
Pass.
Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
No.
Right. Mary Berg.
No.
LaVarne Williams.
Yes.
Hattie Heffley.
Yep.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Ray LaForest.
A pass.
That's a pass?
That's a pass.
Okay. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Alan Minsky.
A pass.
Don White.
Yes.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Teresa Allen is yes. Sandy Weinman?
Abstain.
Ken Freeland?
Yes.
Ev Shapko?
Yes.
Rip Robin?
Yes.
And A.C. Bird?
Abstain.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
What does that sound?
we had some passes here. Star Rondawa.
Yes.
And Ray LaForest.
Abstain.
And Alan Minsky.
Abstain.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 yeses. And 2 no.
Go ahead with your... Ken, go ahead with your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Executive Director Grumo be instructed by the board to instruct General Manager Bradley to make available the requested documents of March 29th to Inspector Freeland, to Director Freeland.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Debate?
I have a question for
Mr.
Freeland. You made a statement earlier about, in your opinion, members at lower levels are entitled to this information also. Are you saying that you would be inclined to share this information with Ted Weiskel, for example, who has requested to see that information?
No, that wasn't my point. My point was that if we're going to make a sweeping rule, we shouldn't be excluding people who bear fiduciary responsibility for the foundation, even though they're not members of the Pacifica National Board. I don't think it's fair to exclude them from a possible access to information at various points.
Ken, I think the question was whether you would be inclined to share it with anyone who wasn't a director.
I won't know until I see the information. I really don't. I have an answer to that question right now. I don't have any particular plans to do so or not do so.
Don White on the stack.
Patty.
Go ahead. Patty, had you already asked to be on?
I don't know. I did second the motion, but I may not have asked, but I
okay.
do have a
go ahead, Don, and then we'll do AC, whom we have not heard much from, and Patty.
And then Bob.
And well, Mary Berg, if someone says
well,
what
this,
I'm going to, I won't.
This most recent statement by Ken comes as a little bit of a shock to me, because my general feeling about this vote is that directors have access. Directors do have the right to have access to information, and I think we've struggled a lot around this, and I think it would be a step back not to reaffirm that. But for a director to say he does not at this point know who he would share the information with that he's going to get through this vote really comes as somewhat of a surprise. I thought there was an agreement that confidentiality agreements would preclude sharing any information that's authorized under this vote and through our process with anyone who is not a member of the PNB. So this really alters very much my perception of exactly what's happening here.
Patty? Excuse me, AC. I said we'd recognize AC. He hasn't spoken much.
Well, first of all, I think that we haven't seen the recommendations, so therefore I don't think we should be voting on that without looking at it. And I would personally want more investigation of this question, because I know that there have been legal challenges to several national organizations, being the ACLU and WACP Legal Defense Fund. Many of them have had challenges with J. Edgar Hoover trying to get the list of their membership now. And I also understand, which I don't know, which is why I sent a memo to Greg to investigate this, because I think there was even some members of the organization who desired to have the list revealed. So, although I understand what has been said about California law, California, like any other state, has to comply with federal law. So I don't know what the federal law is, and I think what the case law is with the Supreme Court ruling, but I think that all of those need to be investigated before we take any votes on accepting what the policy is. And I do think that we need to take the time out to investigate the policy. And the one central issue that I would be concerned about is I don't think that even a board member should have, even though we have the right, as Lynn explained, to inspect the list, I think we need to have a criteria established as to what the bases are for doing so. Because if it is, as Ken has just sort of indicated, if the board member feels that they have the privilege to share that information, unless we have a policy that would prevent that kind of thing, then I think we're endangering the security of Pacifica. Because, and I know that all of you know that there are many people, and I know especially here in Washington, who call in anonymously and make commitments. And we even had one incident here where it was quite a ruckus over the fact that some of the people had been thought they were had the privacy rights, found out that their name was somehow out there.
2 minutes.
And I don't know if that's a legal question. It seems to me that they have, if we agree that they can submit funding anonymously and then turn around and say something different, I think we're opening ourselves up for some legal challenges on that basis. So for that reason, I believe that this matter should be postponed until there is a clear, definitive criteria set for access, as well as criteria, as well as investigation of other other case law and constitutional rulings out there.
Is that your motion?
Are you making a motion to postpone until we have that information?
Yes.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone.
I second that.
I second.
Okay.
I'd like to speak to the motion, Mr. Chair. Ken Freeland?
Yeah, the problem is we are at time for the item. Does anybody want to extend time? Okay.
We should move to extend time for 10 minutes on this item, Mr. Chair.
Is there a second to the motion to extend time?
Second.
Is there objections?
I object.
Please call the roll, Teresa.
Okay. Motion to extend time. Is that what we're voting on?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry for the confusion. Mary Berg?
I'm going to pass for a minute. Sorry.
LaVarne Williams?
I pass.
Patty Heffley?
Motion to extend, yes.
Ray LaForest.
I pass.
Bob Lederer?
No.
Alan Minsky?
Abstain.
Don White?
No.
Lydia Brazon?
No.
Therese Allen says no. Sandy Weinman? Sandy Weinman.
Muted again. No, thank you.
Okay. Ken Freeland?
Yes.
Deb Shafto?
No.
Rip Robbins?
No.
AC Bird. Unmute, AC. Rob Robinson?
No.
Sarv Randhawa?
No.
Sarv?
No.
Thank you. Rosalinda Montes Palacio?
No.
Mary Berg?
No.
LaVarne Williams?
Let's say.
Thank you. Ray LaForest?
No.
A.C. Bird seems to be gone. He was just here. vote is two yes and one, two, three.
The motion fails. So the, can you restate the motion to postpone? I see it's to postpone until what? Until there's a standard set for maintaining confidentiality? Was that it? Or was there something else?
Bird.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. AC, what was the motion to postpone? Was it until there's a standard set for maintaining confidentiality, or was it until we get some other kind of information?
Well, the motion was to extend the, postpone the this until there is further information obtained by looking into other legal sources, such as the any court decrees or case law on this question. Secondly, it was, since we have not read the report issued by Mr. Siegel, that we should have the time to review that and make some criteria, suggested criteria, for having access to and also how the use of information that are director would review.
Okay, on the first part of that, Dan, hold on. On the first part of that, Dan, can you speak to, I mean, I'm not clear what kind of information would need to be gotten in order to satisfy the requirements of this motion. Can you interpret what's been asked or comment on it?
Yes, I can, Dave. It seems to me that the thrust of the request is to determine whether there is any legal basis beyond that which has already been researched and discussed by Mr. Fink and myself and perhaps other lawyers that is relevant to the issue of inspection and copying. And I have to tell you that there is none. That this is, you know, under the federal system, the operations of a nonprofit corporation is a matter of state law. So regardless of what other states might say, if Pacifica were incorporated, for example, in Delaware or Utah or South Carolina, doesn't really matter because Pacifica is a California corporation about which other states have no right to legislate or adjudicate. And the same is true of the federal government.
Okay.
It frankly does not matter what the federal government thinks about this issue. Only authority which the board has, which my proposal is a suggestion for addressing, is one, what directors can do with the information that they have a right to have, and secondly, what sanctions should be imposed on directors who violate their obligation of confidentiality. Those really are the issues.
Okay. Given that there's no, according to our counsel, there's no additional information that can be gotten that's relevant, I'm going to rule the part of the motion that calls for postponement until we get more to be out of order, but the portion of it that calls for a delay until we have a policy established on defining use and confidentiality would be in order. So we're postponing around each other these two things. So that portion of it is in order. And if people want to vote for that, then we can proceed. Actually, before we do that, Dan, I need to ask a question. Is any kind of liability incurred if the board takes that action to on the board's part to delay until we have the opportunity to pass a motion concerning use of divulged information?
Well, you know, if you like, I can answer that question, but you might think that it would be a question that would be better posed
in
closed session,
okay.
Perhaps without the requesting board member in attendance.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna go ahead then with the vote to postpone.
Did you say without the requesting board member in attendance?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and, excuse me, before I do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Siegel, would you advise us to take this vote now or to schedule an executive session at which this would be discussed?
Well, you know, I think the most objective advice I could give now would be that it would make sense for the board to have in front of it the written proposal I made before taking action. But it would also make sense for the board to not delay for a very long time acting on Mr. Friedland's request.
Point of information?
Yes.
Since my original request was March 29th, I wonder how long Mr. Siegel would consider unreasonable delay.
I don't think Mr. Siegel thinks it's advisable at this time to answer that question. So,
I guess he'd prefer to answer it when I'm not present, or what?
Ken, I don't want to, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but obviously you have certain legal rights available to you, and I think the board should be aware of what its liability would be in the event that it comes involved in an adverse situation with you.
But why shouldn't I be apprised of the same?
Because you may take action which puts you at odds with the organization.
No, with the board, other board members, not with the organization.
On
behalf of the organization.
You're out of order. I'd like to call you to order. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
No, we have a we've closed debate, or actually, debate has been closed by the fact that we don't have any extension of time. What I'm trying to deal with is the right way to this motion. The first part, as I said, is out of order. The second part, as I understood it, was to postpone consideration of this until we'd had an opportunity to look at the materials that were sent to us by Dan Siegel regarding questions of use and penalty for misuse. That's what I understand the motion to be.
Exactly.
Can you call the roll on that motion, Teresa?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Do you want this said purely that after we've read his report, nothing to the effect of something about making up criteria concerning
there's,
access and use of material?
That, in it.
That was
That's in
not
there.
The motion, I don't believe.
Well, it was in his first reading when he came back. He truncated it.
Point of order.
He first mentioned it.
Yes, Ken.
Okay. I think the chair stated the motion, and we need to be voting on that as such.
I'm willing to hear if I have misstated the motion. My problem is not having it in writing makes it very difficult, and having had to separate it makes it very difficult to be certain. So I'd like to understand what the maker was intending by his motion, what he said.
Well, I was, since the first thought has been ruled out of order, what I was trying to say was that, that first of all, we should have the opportunity to read the advice that the attorney has given us.
That's
on the one level, we should have, we should establish some criteria or policy relating to what a director can do with that information and what they can't do, and what are the basis for them getting the information.
Can any unaligned board member tell me whether I am correct? I believe that the first opposing of the motion was a postponement until we had an opportunity to review the material sent to us by Siegel. Okay,
yes,
in that case,
that
is the motion we're going to vote on.
Right.
Will you call the roll?
So the motion is postponed purely until we've had a chance to read the report?
And no policy.
We are postponing until we've had an opportunity to review the proposal by Mr. Siegel.
Okay. All right. Let's start with LaVarne Williams.
LaVarne?
Sorry, Pat.
Okay. Thank you. Patty Heffley?
Yeah.
Okay. Ray LaForce?
Yes.
Bob Letterer?
Yes.
Let's see. Alan Minsky?
Yes.
Don White?
Yes.
Lydia Brezon?
Yes.
Teresa Allen says yes. Sandy Wyman?
Yes.
Ken Freeland?
No.
Deb Gatto?
Yes.
Rob Riprop? Rip Robbins?
No.
Okay. And A.C. Berg?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Star Rondawa?
Yes.
Rosalinda Montes Palacio?
Epstein.
Mary Berg?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
No.
What? Repeat that, LaVarne?
I'm sorry, no. The answer is no.
Okay, thank you.
And mm-hmm. This is Patty. I'd like to abstain.
Patty Heffley, abstain. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
12. Can't hear you.
12, yes. Well, my battery's going on my phone. I have to go trade out. 12, yes, 3, no.
Madam Secretary, I would like to be noted as having cast a vote in this, and my vote is no.
Okay.
Okay.
And
so we are now done with this item.
Mr. We'll Chair?
We'll pick it up at our next meeting. Yes?
I'm just asked permission to send to Dan Siegel the director's right document that our attorney Richard Phelps wrote up, who did a lot of research of California code and all kinds of lawsuits that showed what director's rights were, and I would like to send that document to him if that's okay.
You don't
okay.
need my permission.
Okay, I'll be sending that to him then.
Well,
Dave,
yes.
can you just mentioned to Dan, because he was in on the call earlier when I moved the agenda item about process of contacting.
So Dan, the question is what policy we would consider for our directors to make inquiries to you as counsel. We have a problem that we are now well over time for the meeting, and I don't know if members would like to continue this meeting. I'm willing to continue. So the thing that we agreed to, yes?
I'll move to adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded.
Second.
There are other objections to adjournment?
I object.
Can you call the roll, please, Teresa, on the motion to adjourn?
There's no debate on this? Okay. Motion to adjourn. Who made the motion to adjourn?
Sorry.
I did.
Sarv did?
Yes.
All right. Start with Patty Heffley.
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Enough.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Alan Minsky?
Yes means to adjourn?
Yes.
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 Don White?
Pass.
Lydia Brezon?
No.
Teresa Allen says no. Sandy Wyman?
Yes.
Ken Freeland?
No.
Deb Shafto?
Yes.
Rip Robbins?
Abstain.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Star Rondawa?
Yes.
Rosalinda Montes Palacio?
Yes.
Mary Bird?
No.
LaVarne Williams? No. Oh, I'm sorry. Going back to Don White, you passed?
Yeah, I'm voting no.
While she's counting, I would like to take a moment to speak about the progress of this meeting. And again, note that the time that we spent talking about what we would be spending time on at our next meeting occupied, I believe, over 45 minutes or more. And we are not doing a good job of either being prepared to conduct business in the meeting, nor to distinguish between things that really matter and things that are simply matters of taste and aesthetic. I mean, very thin matters. You know, you take an hour out here or something like that. It's a trap that we keep falling into. I want to note that everything on this agenda, with the exception of the KPFT transmitter, which we thankfully process, nothing on this agenda has to do with radio operations. It has to do with internal process. And because of our failure to deal expeditiously with this stuff, we are going to be spending all our time in New York dealing with many of these same issues. And, you know, I am trying as hard as I can to get the material to the board enough in advance, but we must change the way we do business or no business will get done. We have to change this. I regret and apologize for my own failings in this area. Believe me, I spend time trying to think about this. But the whole board needs to exert some discipline and be willing to move to votes on things and let them go up or down. The one thing we seem good at is preventing action, and we are failing. So what is the vote, Teresa?
Mr. Chair, it's a tie.
I vote
eight.
No, because we need to dispense with some business.
That's okay.
No. Mr. Chair, yes. I disagree with the Secretary. I'd like to have that count over again.
Could you recount,
it cannot be a tie. It's impossible.
Eight, yes. And those are, that is, A.C., Barb, Rosalinda, Patty, Bob, Alan, and Sandy, and Deb. And the ones that are no are Rob.
You missed Ray.
You missed Ray, correct.
Ray was a no.
He was a no.
Ray was a no.
Yes, I was.
So, Rob Robinson.
Oh. Was a no.
Mary, LaVarne, Ray, Don, Lydia, Teresa,
what?
And Ken are no. 8-8, and now with David Adelson, that's 9.
Actually, I don't need to vote. It failed anyway. So the issue before us now, and there was, I'm trying to find the thing, whether we have 15 or 20 minutes on this. I believe it's 15. The question is manner of contacting counsel, and I believe Lydia had a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Okay, are we going to get to the free speech radio negotiation issue, the election?
With the consent of the body, if we could just have the announcement of the results of the elections.
Well, are we going to get to this after we discuss? Mr. Siegel's on the line.
I'm asking if you can quickly read the results, if there's
well,
no
this is a,
thank
this
you.
This is the problem, Mr. Chair. Two people did not get ballots, and I've since talked to a number of other people who did not get ballots.
Okay, then we cannot process this item now.
No.
We agreed that we would handle the corporate, how we reach counsel immediately after we
can
dealt
we please,
with the Freeland can, issue.
Can I please have the opportunity to make an announcement after we deal with this issue with Mr. Siegel?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, Lydia, you have a motion?
Oh, well, I thought I was going to have a motion. I can have, my original thought was, as I had mentioned to our committee, et cetera, was to have any three members, but at the time, let me preface it, I was thinking of policy issues, for example, that any three board members could write to council and say the following three members have this question, and we would CC the board, the entire board, so that they were privy to the question. They may have another three directors might have additional information to make. But as I started thinking about it, and perhaps I have overthought it, that a number of other situations have come up. For example, tonight, with the policy that he proposed, or at least his proposal regarding inspection rights, is that might be something that the entire board might, or, you know, more than a collective three, might have thoughts about, but he wouldn't have to respond to each member. I mean, but at least he might, and we will have to ask Dan whether he would like that. is to receive what information about what our thoughts are. You know, so maybe half a dozen people might have thoughts, and not. And I'm not suggesting that you respond to each board member, but then after you collect all of this information, that you may want to respond collectively to the whole board. That's one situation. Another situation is going to be if an individual director is privy to information that may be confidential, and they want to know if it's confidential, they may want to know how to proceed, and so that might be an individual communication that is necessary. Other situations, I would hope that Mr. Siegel would just go ahead and respond, oh, this should be copied publicly. It can be, not publicly, but to the entire board, rather. Because sometimes we become overprotective about information, and we might ask him a question, and he might say, well, my response, you should know, I'm going to copy it to the entire board because it's something the entire board should know. So there are like half a dozen things, and I would first like to have some input from Dan before we proceed. And I don't foresee passing, I did originally, but I do not now foresee passing something tonight. But since we have him on the phone, I'd like to get some input and then put something in writing that we can circulate amongst ourselves on the board.
Dan, can you comment on, and I'd also like to hear from Greg, on your opinion about useful procedures for board queries to you?
Point of information?
Yes, Ken.
Sure. How much time for this item?
15 minutes total.
Thank you.
Of which I think we've just spent three or four.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, my view is I'm here to serve you, and however you choose to communicate with me is fine. In terms of suggestions, it seems to me that maybe there could be three ways in which people could pose questions to me. One is through the general manager. Second would be through the president of the board. And third would be, as Lydia suggests, if three members together pose a question. But I do think that any response I make, though, should be the board as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Point of information?
Yes, Ken.
Dan, didn't you mean the executive director rather than the general manager?
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
Okay, thanks.
The question, I have a question for you, Dan. How do we pay for your time right now, and how would is it a straight retainer? Would, if these questions are being asked, basically, is there a financial impact to that for us?
Well, there is a financial impact.
Because we can generate a lot of questions.
Alan Minsky.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
There is a financial impact. Although I haven't gotten a signed contract back yet, I've been negotiating essentially with Lonnie and also with Greg, and the hourly rate for my time is $225.
Okay.
So there is a financial impact, of course.
I can clarify that if you'd like, Dave.
Please do.
Yeah, we have signed a contract, Dan, and there's a retainer of $2,500 monthly applied to hourly charges and expenses, and so if it's insufficient to cover, then they bill us for the difference. And his fee is $225, but his partner's, the fees are somewhat lower.
Stack?
Yeah, who said Stack?
Sandy.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Sandy. Sorry. Ken, how much time do we have left?
We have about 10 minutes left.
Okay. I've had an objection earlier in the meeting to the fact that I am recognizing men preferentially to women. So, Sandy, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to recognize LaVarne first.
Right ahead.
Okay, that's a wise move. A couple of things. I don't have it with me, but I recall that Greg. I'm in the Central Time Zone, so it's late for me, too. Had outlined a process in terms of what he proposed, how we should deal with attorneys. So I perhaps, you know, we can go over those points and at another time, and that seemed valid to me. The other is that perhaps the concern that we've had is, like, in terms of what the issues are and who's actually creating work for the attorney and for Jan. So perhaps what we'd ask for, I think, in the Finance Committee, we'd consider is to send a copy of your billings each month so we can review it so that we won't have the issues that we had with the prior ED where all of the billings were directed at supposedly had been generated by the board, and there were some questions about changing things. But anyway, so again, I think we discussed this in finance. You know, we'd like to see the billings each month that Dan sends to the foundation, and then we can just review that for what we believe the accuracy in terms of who's creating the work for our attorney.
Yes. I'd like to get on the stack to clarify for that at some point.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. When the Corporate Counsel Committee first formed, the first thing that it did was develop a process, and which was reported to you. Actually, you could find it, I think, even in your, perhaps in your board book for March. And it's very short, and I'll read it to you just so you have a point of comparison. Committee recommends that in the future, when a member of the PMB has a question for counsel, it should be sent to the entire board via the chair or requesting a legal opinion. When a staff makes an inquiry and reports back to the board, information on how the question was posed, the context, should be provided. The same consideration should apply when board informs staff of its inquiries. The committee suggests that the attorney inquiries by board include the assignment of a specific person to make the approach and the precise questions being posed. Now, I don't know that this is a global policy which answers all of the, you know, permutations that Lydia presented, but it was something that came out of a group of six people back a couple of months ago and was presented to you, but you never had really had time to review it. Basically, it's saying that before an individual board member can call our counsel, that they've got to notice it to the board before that request is made and go through the chair to do it. It doesn't actually say they can't make the request having notified the chair. It just simply says you have to know it in advance.